You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
And a very good Monday morning to you. Mike McNamara in for a Monday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you had a nice weekend, St. Patrick's Day weekend, and a big basketball tournament going on. And hope you had a great weekend. Mine was all right. Hung out with my daughters, hung out with my son. And so it was good. It was good. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. We're going to talk news headlines. It's going to be a busy news week. The House Committee, I think, on intelligence oversight will begin looking into the Russian involvement in our past election. So that will certainly be interesting. And let's see, what's the other big thing going on this weekend? That's nice, because I forgot about it. Anyway, Justin Constantine's going to join me, and we're going to talk about those two things as soon as I can find the other one. And then Matt Morgan's going to join us with another edition of Crossroads. And the this one is pretty interesting and unique. It's about a Marine Lance Corporal by the name of Ned Sneath. And Ned was awarded the Bronze Star with Combat V and the Navy Cross in February of 2011 for actions in the Republic of Vietnam in 1966. And so you'll hear his story, and it's an incredible story. And so so you'll hear another installment of Crossroads, and then the Gunner will join me, and we'll talk whatever we talk about. So it should be an interesting morning here on the All Marine Radio. I haven't talked to Justin Constantine in a couple weeks, so we'll get his thoughts on, and you know, he's a lawyer, so I'm curious to hear what Justin has to say, because, you know, as you kind of get into the repercussions and what the Marine Corps can do, there are things like the First Amendment that come into play, and there's a whole series of issues that in order to discipline people, you have to get through. So we'll talk to – I'm curious about his perspective as a lawyer about that. So with that said, Justin Constantine talks news with us. And Matt Morgan will do Crossroads with us, and then the Gunner will do Gunning with us. So should be a great Monday here on All Marine Radio. So sit back, relax, spend the next few hours with us as we get your week off, hopefully on a positive note. So with that said, the United States Marine Corps Band ushers in the morning. Good morning to you. Bit of motivation on a Monday.
Come my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
We'll check the weather on the Marine Corps. Currently in Quantico, cloudy and 38 degrees. So kind of normal for that time of year. Camp Lejeune, March, sunny and 44. Granbury, Texas, is a little bit warmer. Cloudy and 69. North Dakota, on a par with Virginia. Yikes, that doesn't happen very often. Cloudy and 36 up in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And 29 Palms, going to be warm there today. Sunny and 61 right now. Camp Pendleton, cloudy and 50. Camp Smith in Hawaii, cloudy, dark, and 72. Okinawa always seems to be a little bit cooler than Camp Smith. Cloudy and 66. Fallujah, partly cloudy, 71. The home of All Marine Radio, the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area, Southern California, 55 with overcast. Pretty nice weekend. We're supposed to have rain today. So that is a look at your weather. This hour of All Marine Radio brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the one and only Battle Mug, home protection device, operator mug, and take it to work and put it on your desk. It looks cool there, too. Starts with 10-pound block of aluminum. After it's milled, machined, and anodized, it's ready for you to make your own. Everyone's serialized. You can have it engraved on the base. Mine's got my name, rank, and the blue diamond. Love it. And then Picatinny rails on the side are set for you to decorate. Now, if it's indoors, you can certainly put on one thing. And if you're keeping it in a vehicle and you're using it as an operator, you can, or part of your hunting kit, you can certainly put a scope on it. You can put a camera on it. You can put a light on it. Anything that goes on a Picatinny rail, you can go ahead and put on your mug. So check the whole line of products out at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. It's a veteran-owned and operated company made entirely in the United States. So with that said, we're going to take a quick break. Monday edition of All Marine Radio gets underway, and that happens most scosh. So Justin Constantine is going to join us. We're going to talk about, I know the other issue we're going to talk about. Healthcare is obviously getting a rollout. And what's interesting about the Sunday talk shows, as they kind of explored the issues, they said, you know, this is kind of a throwback to old-style politics, which was kind of interesting. They said, you know, it's been a while since there's been negotiations on these kind of things. You know, you have Ted Cruz, who said he would never work with Donald Trump, and he was down in Florida over the weekend negotiating in terms of how do you get this done? How do you get it through? How do you make it a better product? So they said it's been a while since Washington has seen this, negotiations with both sides involved in terms of a piece of legislation. So I don't want to say it gives one hope, but it certainly was a better system than the one that gave us sequestration. So with that said, Justin Constantine in the wing. We'll talk to him in a couple of minutes here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good. And I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
As we recognize the service of America's men and women in uniform, let's also honor the families who sacrifice so much every day. Military families endure frequent deployments and separations. They carry on while their loved ones are sent into harm's way and wait patiently for their safe return. If you really want to honor a veteran, look for ways to support their families and thank them for their sacrifices. Go to legion.org/honorveterans to find out how you can help.
This is Montel Williams. As a U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran, I know the sacrifice that our servicemen and women make for us every single day. If you're a veteran or a military member transitioning out of the service, help is available to you. The U.S. Department of Labor can help you get training, find a good job, or further your education. Contact the Veterans Employment and Training Service at 866-487-2365 or visit dol.gov/vets.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
It's been a while, but we've tracked him down. Joining us from someplace in Pennsylvania, he's keeping out a secret, is Justin Constantine. Justin, first of all, how you doing? A couple weeks, man.
Yeah, well, I missed the show last week. It's unfortunate, but as always, glad to somehow be invited back.
Well, there you go. The let's see. Let's talk about the news. The biggest things this week was one of the committees on intelligence is going to look into the whole thing about the Russian involvement in the election. So I think most of the nation welcomes that. The sunlight maybe shined on some of that, and we'll come to some kind of conclusion. So that starts this week, and then the replacement of the Affordable Care Act is being negotiated as we speak, and then we have the whole Marines United thing.
Well, I mean, as we speak, they're having a hearing right now where Director Comey is going to be testifying about a wiretap thing. So that's a lot of people are looking, probably watching that right now, and looking forward to seeing what he says about that.
Right. So that's going to be big theater this week, and certainly more fuel for the fire. Talk to me a little bit. You and I haven't had a chance to visit about it since, because the story had kind of only been a few days old when we first spoke about it, but the whole Marines United thing. You practice law in the Marine Corps. And I'm curious about your general impression or your general thoughts on the issue of Marines United.
Well, I think the Marine Corps has to do something about this, and that's what we talked about last time. And we were, as you said, it was very fresh when we had our discussion, and you know, I feel like my comments were supported by some of your listeners who wrote in saying that this is not appropriate. I take a hard stand on this. I know not everyone agrees to that. That's how I feel, but I think legally it is tough. And in fact, I saw an interesting thing that Sergeant Major Green and the Commandant, John Neller, got some pushback from, at least from some people, that they weren't taking enough action on this and weren't being vocal enough. But right. I think they learned some lessons from General Amos when he came out talking about sexual assault, and I believe also the case where the Marines urinated on the enemy. So they kind of set the tone, and before those criminal prosecutions took place. And so I don't think that they take it lightly at all. I think they were just making sure they weren't interfering with anything to happen next. So that's a little legal aspect to it. And as we discussed last time, there are some under UCMJ, these Marines can be punished, but I think it's sometimes easier said than done. We're dealing with cyber, we're dealing with internet where there's a lot of anonymity, and whether or not people knew what they were doing was wrong, the intent is hard to prove, the effect on good order and discipline may be hard to prove, and so it's a murky area, but I don't think that should get in the way of what we're seeing now, a lot of senior leaders really speaking out against it and trying to push hard and come up with some solutions.
Okay, let me ask you a few specific questions about that. Do you think the UCMJ, have you had a chance to look at it? I think you and I look at Article 120. Anytime you see the general article being invoked, I think it's testament to the fact that the UCMJ doesn't specifically deal with it, or else you'd see a different article.
Right, now it's Article 134.
Given the fact that young Marines, this kind of behavior is so prevalent in our society, do you think the UCMJ ought to address and I would say specifically this, because what's on the books is if you're peeping Tom and steal something, steal an image or take an image, if you steal an image and then transmit it. But what it's not particularly clear about, and I don't, is kind of the revenge porn thing, and that is you receive the image consensually. Who does that belong to? Does that belong to you now, or does that belong to the person who gave it to you with the caveat that was given to you with the expectation of privacy? Do you think the UCMJ needs to deal with that, given what a problem this is and can be relative to good order and discipline?
Well, I think so, and I think, you know, this isn't a one-time situation.
Right.
I think similar instances are going to keep coming up, and I mean, you can have an order on it, and people are charged with violating an order. It's Article 92 all the time, and so there's two issues here. how can they charge this? And so, yeah, I do think if you have an order on that, for instance, if you're a give someone a direct order to go do something and they don't do it, well, now they just violated you. So, yeah, so you could craft an order. I think maybe they're already doing this. But also, when you talked about if someone sent the picture consensually, and when I posted on Facebook that we had this discussion, and it caused a little bit of a firestorm because a few people were just sticking to their guns that, well, the women, and typically it's women, the women sent it, they chose to send this picture. That's on them now. They shouldn't do that. But again, like we discussed last time, you know, people are doing this as an expectation that they're not going to share it further. I would imagine. I think that's common knowledge. And so I don't think that Marines can escape culpability if there's an order in place and saying, well, they sent it to me so I can do whatever I want with it. So no one, I imagine, very few people send a private picture of themselves to someone that they are, have a romantic relationship with so and so with the expectation that they're going to pass it on to anyone else.
So,
let's just move on from this. What's so hard about changing, you know, I don't know if it's really changing the culture, but what's so hard about people addressing this head on as the commandant is doing now and different sergeant majors are doing out there and saying, this is stupid. We're Marines. We take care of each other. So let's just leave it at that. And anything that diverts from that is wrong and bad. Posting pictures of naked people and making fun of them and talking about raping them, give me a break.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything. Let me tell you after discussions and whatnot, the easy part of this is when you weaponize an image of somebody, you publicize it, you put their contact info on it. I don't care where you work, what you do, that's wrong. And 35 states in the District of Columbia will convict you of either a misdemeanor or a felony because of it. I think that's easy. I think what's not as easy is what you share and who that belongs to. But I think in terms of good order and discipline, that's why I think that the UCMJ needs to be modified to specifically state if you transmit an image that was sent to you with the reasonable expectation of privacy, you can be prosecuted under this article of the UCMJ. Boom. Everybody understand that? Nod your head. And we move on. It was interesting that hearing with there was two hearings, one with the Senate, one with the House, and in which they essentially did the same thing. The House meeting was closed. The Senate meeting was supposed to be closed. Then it was opened up the day before. And obviously so that there could be some political, some media coverage of it. And the commandant, I mean, his job was to take his face shots, right?
Right.
Yeah. And I do agree with you in that, you know, I can't remember who was flaming on him, but it might have been Senator Gillibrand. And he kind of looked around like left and right, like, do you want me to answer this in open session? I thought that, you know, the rules were going to be, and then I can't remember who was chairing it at the time. It might have been Senator Kaine. He hopped in and made a comment about, General Neller, we know that you probably have things to say that would probably be more appropriate in closed session, and we'll reserve that. And he just kind of nodded. But
you know, yeah,
he did what he was supposed to do, which was take his face shot. What about First Amendment rights? You know, I mean, people will say, well, you know, look, if I'm just making a comment, there's nothing wrong with that. I didn't, you know. So commenting, as much as we may abhor some of it, commenting that doesn't, that might be insulting but not advocating violence, is that a First Amendment right?
Well, how is this law passed in 35 states then? You know, maybe it hasn't been tested yet, so I guess under what you're saying is that maybe someone will be prosecuted under it and it'll go up on appeal.
No. Do I have the right to comment on it? I didn't post it. I just see it. I guess, is not illegal, right? Is that a First Amendment right?
No, it's not. But in the military, you don't enjoy all the rights under the Constitution that you do in regular society. So, you know, that's why the UCMJ exists. And so if there is an order, like in any in regular society, if you're late for something, who cares? I mean, but in the Marine Corps, you can, you know, that could be an orders violation. And so they could have an order on this. Like, you will not comment or you will not participate. And I don't see it going that far, but they could.
Justin Constantine joins us again, somewhere in Pennsylvania. He's working on finding out where he's at. And the other thing I thought that was interesting about this was I had Kate Germano on, and she said, you know, we were talking, and the gist of it was, it's supposedly, according to NCIS, released information last week that said that there were 1,200 active duty or reservists that they had identified as part of that group on Marines United. Of that, 850 were Marines, 700 were active duty, 150 were reservists approximately. And that of that, less than 500 had accessed the hard drive. The larger issue, I think, becomes, is kind of interesting, and curious to get your thoughts on that. If 500 accessed the hard drive, what would the other 29,500 doing in terms of looking at this going, you know, hey, you know, what's going on here? This needs to stop. And I think that's the problem that needs to be remedied, is being a bystander can't happen. And there was an email that a female Marine sent last week that said, we desperately need you to help us to stop this. We can't do it complaining and because the only thing we get is abused. We need you guys. We need the males in the Marine Corps to help us put an end to this. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, she's right. I mean, the women are an extreme minority in the Marine Corps, and obviously a certain percentage of the male Marines look down on them and denigrate them. And certainly that's a minority also, I think. But I do believe misogyny is alive and well in the Marine Corps. I do believe that plenty of people, officers enlisted, have made disparaging comments about women. There have been a number of reports or articles and just testimonies that have come out in the last couple of weeks from female Marines saying how they feel. And it's all, a lot of it's very negative. And so clearly they can't make a change by themselves. The men have to be the ones who have to push this forward like we would with any other issue. I mean, we're the majority. You know, we are the leaders in the Marine Corps. So that's kind of obvious. And that's a national issue as well. That's just not in the Marine Corps.
Okay. All right, let me read you an email. Hey, Mac, it's interesting as some of the hysteria has left this issue and you're looking at the remedies and even identifying the problem. I think the Marine Corps has a problem in terms of we want to act, and there are senators on that panel that want to act like female Marines are interchangeable parts in the combat arms and in the Marine Corps. We know that they're not. And that's nothing. He wrote that, and there's nothing wrong with that. We get it. They make great contributions to the Marine Corps, but with some exceptions, they are not interchangeable pieces. It's why they have a different PFT, because they can't do ours. If we went to a single PFT standard, because we're all the same, they couldn't get promoted. We struggle with this whole concept, and I'm curious about your thoughts. Some resentment, certainly in the Marine Corps, is because we like to say that we're all equal. Well, we're not. And I think if we just acknowledge that fact and address that head on and said we are different, this is how it works, it would go a lot farther. But I will quote you, Mac. Sometimes we feel like we're getting pissed down our back and somebody's telling us raining. We know the truth, and it does create resentment. I'm curious about your thoughts. Justin, your thoughts on that? They don't play on any varsity team at Navy. They don't play in the NFL. We're all equal. We're all equal, though. We're all interchangeable parts. That's what gets sold out of the Senate and by elected officials. We know that's not true. No matter what anybody wants to say, we know it's not true. Does that in and of itself engender problems?
So that makes it sound like...
It's not a justification. What he's saying is...
No, I'm trying to understand.
Why don't we call that what it is?
That makes it sound like every male Marine does better on the PFT than the best women Marine. That every male Marine is automatically going to do better in combat because they're men. Do you believe that? I don't.
What PFT are we running?
The male PFT.
We would run. So would there be male Marines? Would there be male Marines? No, I don't. I think there's certainly some females that would do better on some events than male Marines. I think the whole upper body thing is certainly problematic for female Marines.
Haven't you met any female? Okay, let's just start with officers. Haven't you met some female officers who could score on a male PFT higher?
We're not talking about the exception disproving the rule. What we're talking about is the experience in the Marine Corps, and the experience that he's talking about, I would tell you, is spot on. And there are exceptions, no doubt.
Okay, because it sounded like the tone was like all men can do this and the women can't. And if he's saying, it sounds like it's this idea that because the amount of pull-ups you can do is directly proportional to how well you can operate in a combat environment. I don't really think that's true.
I think the point he's trying to make is that, you know, after all the hysteria kind of has been blown out of the room, one of the issues that does engender some kind of animosity is this idea that we're all replaceable, and by and large, we're all not interchangeable, and that by and large, we're not interchangeable. Yet we get sold that, and there is resentment among male Marines that it's not that way in real life. And so, you know, so you don't believe that.
I guess I don't really understand fully what that means, that we're all interchangeable. Because, I mean, objectively speaking, would I want someone who is a infantry officer or has been a staff NCO who's been in infantry for 10 years more than I would want, let's just say, someone like me going to war? I guess at first blush I would, but I did great, so did my Marines, so did people around me who didn't have an infantry background. And so we were interchangeable, even though we didn't have the same training as everyone in 3Q who we were attached to. So I guess I don't really understand. If the underlying point of this is that women are weaker and can't do what it takes, I don't really agree with that.
Okay.
I do think men and women are different.
Because I think that's the underlying premises, that there are gender differences. They can't do the physical tasks required of us, and they're not physically as strong. We know that. We live that. And yet people wanna just wave that fairy right out of the room. I think that's...
What about the women Marines who led convoys, who earned, you know, Purple Hearts, lionesses, you know, how do they fall into this?
I'm trying to answer that from his email.
Okay.
I don't think he's extrapolating to say that they don't make a contribution. I think what he's saying is that there is this resentment among male Marines that they're not interchangeable. And that's not to say that there aren't some really good ones out there. But this idea that they're interchangeable is not a valid argument. And so some of the resentment isn't sexual. It's job performance related. You know, and it has to do with being a different gender. And so are there women that do those things? And absolutely. And are they good Marines? Yeah. But I think, you know, again, what his point is, there's some of this, you know, why do we have to have different, you know, physical standards? So they can get.
I'm not sure how this is related to revenge porn and stuff like that.
Well, no. What he's saying is when you look at the problem we have relative to gender in the Marine Corps, some of it is performance based, and there is some resentment among male Marines that we're told, you know, that they're just as good as we are, when male Marines don't believe that. And it's not, I don't think the tone of it's not hating on them. It's just, he's trying to point out there is a difference between us. We would do better pointing that out and dealing with that, as opposed to trying to act like it isn't in the room.
I certainly believe a lot of people, a lot of men feel that way. And of course, people are different. We could replace women in this conversation with black people, Irish people, Italians, Latinos, you name it, any group that's faced some sort of discrimination, adversity in our history. And it's easy to say, oh, well, they're different than
but
we
are. I don't agree. You know? What he's trying to talk about is a physical gender difference. And
so what if there is a difference? So what? Until there's reports, until there's like somebody that definitively says this unit or these people suffered because women were there, then this is all just like empty talk. I mean, it's just
okay.
What aren't the women doing that's expected of them? Are there real stories that people can turn to? And is that on any higher level than what men were doing? I mean, when I was defense counsel for a year in Okinawa, I had probably 60 clients. I think one or two were women. Almost all of them were men. Does that tell me that all men in the Marine Corps are, like, terrible people? Well, no. That's just the ones who I saw. And, you know, so there's no, I just don't see the correlation. I understand the feeling is out there,
okay,
but I don't see the end result of it. I don't see, you know, what do you do with that?
Okay, no, that's fine. The Justin Constantine, we're talking news headlines. We're talking about the issues surrounding resentment in the Marine Corps, gender resentment, I guess you would call it, and why it exists. Here on a Monday morning. All right, give me a headline. Been 2 weeks. What's give me something you saw and seen in the news and wanted to talk about.
Let's see. How about I want to discuss how the repercussions of President Trump saying he was wiretapped in the short and long term, if it's not true, which it doesn't seem like it is.
I heard, you know, in the discussion there were two requests for a certain type of. I don't know the technical term. I want to say the term is FICA, but that's not it.
FISA.
FISA. Can you explain?
FISA, yeah.
Can you explain that?
I can explain it generally, and it's if you want to if the FBI or another group, typically the FBI, wants to. Get a wiretap on someone, they have to, in America, they have to have a FISA, go to a FISA court, which is, you know, independent judges. They're assigned to do that. And it's a rigorous process. It starts with the FBI and goes up to the DOJ, where it has it's not just on the women of prayer. There's descriptions of what's going on, why they think this is happening, and how this is the actions of a foreign agent or something along those lines, and they're described in great detail. It goes up and gets approved.
Okay.
It's not something that the president can just decide to do. That's put in place specifically so that couldn't happen. And so there's a very rigorous process that's involved. And it's, you know, secret, completely top secret level.
Okay, so, so supposedly there was, what, two of those involved somehow or other with either the building or people at the building, or can you explain the circumstances around those? Evidently, that's the basis. That's the only thing that people can point to in terms of a basis of the comet.
If that, and I suppose if that is accurate, then this is part of identifying. Of course, we are tracking on, we have wiretaps on, just like every country does for us. You know, we have wiretaps on, I would imagine, the embassies, if we can, or people who are talking with foreign agents who are in our country. And that's why I think probably General Flynn may have got caught up in that. And so these conversations are being recorded. And so I assume with these two FISAs that you're referencing, which I don't really know very much about, they're probably saying, well, we had these in place because we identified these foreign agents and we're monitoring their calls. And that very well may be. For me, it seems very odd that, and this is all, you know, again, this is classified information.
Right.
So
right.
The fact that President Trump would tweet out there that there is this, that's, I would think, at some level, that's a classification violation. And then also, the bigger issue, though, just putting it out there, to those of us who believe in the value of intel and classifying material and keeping things under wraps and the credibility of the President of the United States, just to throw that out there, I think is so irresponsible. And I think it's going to really affect how seriously people take it, because this is like the 10th or 15th or 20th in a long line of doing this. And I think it's a terrible practice.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you. I don't know too many people who would disagree with you. There's he doesn't win too many points on style. And so you know, I think
I just want to really understand the point of it. Like, why I know he's trying to deflect away from Russia and trying to, you know, move on to bigger other things. But why even do that? Maybe this is just how he does business. So why not focus on, you know, healthcare, infrastructure, jobs, taxes, these types of things? Putting out something like that, the President of the United States making that kind of allegation, we'll find out today. But I have a feeling we all know what the answer is going to be anyway.
You know what? And here's, in my opinion, here's what will happen. What will happen is that there will be, and I think one of the things that you see, the way our news cycle works, if there's a scintilla of evidence that might be used to infer that, then go ahead and make the claim. That's the way, to me, that's the way that it works these days. If there is a scintilla, then you'll have all kinds of people that will, on either side, that will go ahead and that will back up your claim. You know, you'll have the lefties and the righties, you know, they will do what they do. And I had a senator from North Dakota on. I interviewed him for another show that I do, and he said, you know, Mac, you can't compromise anymore. And he said this. It was kind of interesting. He said, and I go back, this started when the FCC removed the requirement to use the public airwaves that you had to have balanced programming. And then he said that happened in the 80s. And with that, you had the rise of the Rush Limbaughs of this world, and only one side of it was being told. And he said, and so as a senator, if you compromise, the only thing you will assure yourself of is a challenger in your primary, in your party primary as an incumbent. He said, now that's normally not the case. He said, but you can't compromise in Washington, D.C. anymore. If you want to do the right thing, it's simply something that you can't do. And I thought that was I thought that was really interesting, what he said in terms of, you know.
It was depressing.
It's absolutely depressing. So you can't go there and do the business that the nation requires. Because if you do, he said, look, if you do, you're going to get called a sellout. He said, and look, it's setting up, you know, the Democrats are setting up the same kind of store that the Republicans set up for the 8 years of the Obama administration. They won't cooperate with the judge that he said, look, by all accounts, might not be the one that I would have appointed, but let's be honest, he's certainly qualified to sit on the Supreme Court. He said, but that thing, you know, that thing will get burned down, as is our custom these days. He said, sequestration was something that was never, ever thought that it would be implemented. It was a threat out there because nobody would ever allow that to occur. He said, well, that's the way the government's been run here. He said, and so he said, I think it's a sad state of affairs when we look at our modern government. And so, you know, long story, long-winded way of getting there, you know, if the director of the FBI doesn't come out and specifically say, under no circumstances was the Trump campaign monitored, you know, blah, blah, blah. If in any way, shape, or form he hints that maybe in terms of collections, yes, we did collect information, you know, during this operation from the Trump campaign. If he says anything akin to that, and it was not what we were looking for, blah, 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 but yes, that came under our surveillance. Then what you'll hear is he validated what the president said. And so I think it's a pathetic way of,
And I'll be surprised if Director Comey can, it'll be interesting, very interesting to hear how he phrased it because, right. You know, when you talk about national security issues and this is one, then, obviously, part of what we don't want to reveal is our sources, how we get information, and, you know, our processes also, but really, the tradecraft involved. And so if he, it's really difficult for him to say, unless there's a complete denial, it's really difficult for him to come out and say it in a way that won't be ambiguous and then leave everyone to just bloviate forever now.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But I think, in fact, he's testifying before the House Intelligence Committee. He acknowledged that there is an ongoing investigation and said the probe extends to the nature of any links between Trump campaign associates and the Russian government. This is from the Washington Post. That just went up here less than a minute ago.
No, well, certainly. I mean, there are a litany of people in Trump's campaign who have these, interesting ties to Russia and Russian officials. So that is being investigated, and it should be. And so it doesn't surprise me that if these conversations are going on in the background, of course that our intelligence services are tracking on it. I would hope they will be doing that, whoever it is that we're talking about, if it's dealing with high-level Russian officials. I mean, not, of course. But, you know, President Trump makes that allegation and then says, you know what, we should let Congress look into it. Why doesn't he just solve it in 2 seconds? Why doesn't he, you know, say, hey, Director Comey, because the former director of National Intelligence, Clapper, said this, he denied it a couple weeks ago. He said, no, that I would have known about that. That was not happening.
Justin Constantine, my guest. What else? All right, so the president continues to behave in a way that is can be described generously as extremely unique, and then others would characterize it as detrimental to the nation. What are your thoughts relative to, did you see any of his press conference with Andrea Merkel last week? That was relatively awkward. And you know what, and I don't have a big problem with it. Germany, you know, contributes, I think, 1.3% of their GDP to NATO, to their own defense, to their own defense, in spite of running huge surpluses as a nation. And I was a little surprised, and I do believe that he's right in terms of calling them out in a public way. Hey, you know, we need a strong Germany. and you signed, this is the agreement you signed that you up to. You got to live up to that stuff. And so it's.
Well, they have a target to spend 2% of right. their GDP.
Right.
So they're not there. They said they're on track to do it. There's, I don't know, 5 or 6 countries that do meet that target. But, the way this NATO agreement works, it doesn't mean that if you don't meet your goal that year that you accrue a debt.
No, I agree. That's not how it works.
So, the point is then he sends out a tweet to his 15 million followers that retweeted around the world saying Germany is accruing debt, you know, over many years or whatever it was he said. And it's like, why do that? I mean,
here's what I would say, and if I was him, look, if we were talking about you were at 1.8, you know, 1.7, and then you know a couple years later you were at 2.2, 2.1, that you were trying, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the defense of not only Europe but the Pacific as well. Japan, you know, by their constitution, they don't invest in their own defense. Taiwan does not invest substantially in their own defense. The Philippines does not invest substantially in their own defense. And so why? Because, you know, you have the United States out there doing what it does. And so to me, at some point, and I don't, maybe he's not as delicate as he should be, but I don't have a whole lot of issues with him, you know, bringing the issue up. He's just not the most delicate of people in terms of the way he does it. But I mean, we need their help.
I guess you think shaming people on Twitter is a good technique.
But why
when two adults get in a room, have a conversation, they understand where they are. Why does he need to do that? I mean, that is clearly, that's not going to prompt them to do what he wants them to do. And frankly, Angela Merkel said, look, you know, you're talking about, for the NATO agreement, direct contributions, financial contributions. What about the fact that we've committed to taking in 1 million refugees? You know,
what we're talking about. Different, it's apples and oranges.
It's apples and oranges, but it goes ultimately, we're talking about security. Okay, and collective security. And if you're taking a role, you're not making guns and pulling triggers.
Sorry,
but you're taking in refugees.
I don't want to hear that. The investment needs to be in your military. Don't sell me. You know, we're doing other good things. I don't want to hear that. Right. This agreement specifically.
The only way for collective security is through hard military.
Walk softly and carry a huge stick. Yes, and if you walk softly and you don't have a stick, guess what? You're not even a player. And so,
how's that working? How's that working for us the last couple of years in the Middle East?
Oh no, I'm not talking about how it's being wielded. I'm just talking about the elements of national power. That if you're not, you know, there's a famous quote when somebody asked Stalin, what do you think the Pope will have to say about this? And Stalin replied, how many divisions does the Pope have? And the answer was zero. I don't care what he thinks. And so, I mean, I don't downplay what Germany has done relative to taking in refugees, and that's great. But the bottom line is they need to come, and again, if it was, it's like performance counseling. If it was just a blip that they dropped down to 1.2%, but that's where they've been, and that's a problem, I think. So, and again, he's not the most. If Obama would have gone and done that and been more delicate, everybody would have said, you know, that's a good point. But because Donald Trump is the way he is, I think that he gets marked low for Twitter and all the rest of it. But I think his substantive point is in fact one of substance and ought to be addressed. And then we can applaud the Germans for all the refugees they're taking in.
But I guess as a refugee, you're seeing that as something completely separate from the war machine.
Yes.
Where you want to see the money. And I don't. Yeah. I see it as stitched together and you know, these refugees have to, they are a result of military action. And that's a unfortunate consequence of war. And, you know, we can't just bomb and take out people and walk away and hope things work out with, you know, that's just irresponsible. And so these refugees are part of that, and they are a cost that is a part of the military machinery. So, you know, you and I look at it a little bit differently.
A little bit. All right. Where are you headed this week? What are you doing?
Let's see. This week, and be in New York City for a couple of days, and then I'm in town most of the week, and then I have a event down in Florida for a couple of days. But last week I spoke at Dartmouth College, and then I spoke at a leadership conference for Nestle Waters down in Orlando. So while it was freezing cold in New York, I was down in Orlando. It was 65 degrees, so it was pretty good. But this week I'm just working on my book about veteran hiring programs, and preparing for later on in the month.
All right. When will you be done with it?
I have till August to get the writing done, and then the group I'm working with will spend the second half of the year editing it and marketing it, so we'll roll it out at the end of the year.
All right. All right. I appreciate the visit.
Of course.
I appreciate the visit. I'm trying to And hopefully you'll be around next week.
I will be.
You will?
Yep.
All right. Well, this week, for a couple of reasons, ought to be interesting. The intelligence committee meeting, and then also the healthcare theme. Then gets a little bit more clear this week. So anyway, looking
President
forward.
President Trump said when he's on the campaign trail, he said it's going to be very easy to repeal and replace Obamacare.
I'm sure he was. I'm sure he is. It's just doing it is not as easy as saying it. So.
Right.
I mean, that's the conundrum.
The conundrum of politics.
The conundrum. Right. It's all a negotiation.
Right.
So we'll see. Justin, thanks for the visit.
Okay.
All right, bud. See you.
Thanks, Zach.
You bet. That is Justin Constantine here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio. We're going to take a quick break. Crossroads this week, I'll let Matt Morgan kind of introduce it here in a few minutes, but Lance Corporal, he ultimately gets out of the reserves, I want to say in 1982 as a corporal, maybe a sergeant, but Ned Seath is awarded the Navy Cross and the Bronze Star with B for actions on, I think it's July 15th and 16th, 1966, in the Republic of Vietnam against the North Vietnamese. And he's a machine gunner. And you'll hear his story. So we're going to take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.